Championship season is upon us, and Tumble Tracks Floor Bars, Forrester Bars, and the Perfect Placement Handstand Bar will have your future NCAA champion ready to lean, turn, and pirouette her way to perfect handstands, circles, and releases as she heads into the postseason just like her favorite NCAA stars. To check out all these great bar products and so much more, head over to www.tumbletrack.com. That's www.tumbletrack.com. And remember, Tumble Track, train smart.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody on the bus, so come on, let's ride. Turn on the College Salute podcast by R5. The boys say they want some coverage too, but we really don't wanna. Career best, we're at their peak. I must say bleep because talk is cheap. I like Andrea, Peyton, Sierra, and Mila. And as I continue, do you know the list is sweeter? So what can I do? I really beg you, my lord. To me, sticking is just like a sport. Anything flies, it's all good. Let's jump it. Now please send in the judges. A little bit of Mila in my life. A little bit of Sparty by my side. A little bit of Florida's all I need. A little bit of Sierra's what I see. A little bit of Cal in the sun. A little bit of Faith all night long. A little bit of Jason, here I am. A little bit of you makes us a fan. This is the College Salute Podcast with Region 5.
A dynasty could be happening, but Kim, are you sure it's Utah? Sierra Brooks is the champion. We had a perfect 10 in Region 5. Well, we had 10 alums at Nationals. Region 5 national champion at the USAG Collegiate Nationals. It's a ring for Torres. Sad face feelings continue for Davis. And the ESPN event streams are the best for behind-the-scenes crazy. Welcome back to the College Salute Podcast, the place you go for all you need to know about how our Region 5 alums are doing during their NCAA careers. You know Kim, and of course I'm Jason, and we have come to the last stop on the 2023 NCAA season journey. It's been fun watching all the alum freshman debuts, the seniors' final dismounts, and all the awesome gymnastics across the country this year. But before we can nail this final podcast, we need to roll ourselves in chalk and, of course, thank our two loyal podcast sponsors, Tumble Track and Full Out Recruiting.
More reps, less stress, twist, turn, tumble longer and stronger with Tumble Track. Train smart.
And Full Out Recruiting. They are focused on helping their clients reach their college gymnastics goals. With resources and guidance to athletes, coaches, and parents through the college recruiting process, they go full out to make the experience a fun and productive one. Thanks again to Tumble Track and Full Out Recruiting for your continued support of the College Salute Podcast and the Region 5 Insider. Before we break down our NCAA championships and how the alums did in Texas, we're going to give some information a little bit on our Alumni Monday from our alums at the USAG Collegiate Championships, also held in Texas at the Texas Women's University. Explain this meet just a little bit to you. This competition are for all the NCAA Division I, II programs that cannot provide 12 full scholarships as a true Division I program does. So every school in this particular competition does not have 12 full rides. So not each school may have a different number, but they cannot have 12. Otherwise, they cannot be in this particular competition. So Lindenwood won this competition. They are the national champions as a team in this particular competition. And then speaking of Lindenwood, we have a alum from Aspire Gymnastics here in Illinois, Kaylee Cooper, who won bars. So she is the USAG Collegiate Champion on bars with a 9.825. Beautiful double layout dismount and very, very excited afterward. You can check that one out on Alumni Monday. Riley Meeks from Yale. Riley is an Olympia gymnast back in the day. She's now ending her career. Actually, she has finished her career at Yale. She was second on beam with a 9.875. 7.5, very solid routine from start to finish. You need to check that one out. And then Madison Green, we know her as Polly here in Region 5. She goes to Southeastern Missouri, or SEMO, and she was fourth on vault with an absolutely gorgeous Yurchenko full. So check those three out, as well as all others. We had nine compete at the USAG Collegiate Nationals. So go check those out on our website. Focused solely on our alums in this competition this week on Alumni Monday on our website at Region5GymInsider.com. And you can check out that link also on all of our socials. So go support our Region 5 alums at the USAG Collegiate Championships and check out their routines. And congratulations again to our award winners in that competition. Really quick Kara's kickover. Unfortunately, Olivia got stuck in Kansas City at her wedding this past weekend and then came back to some busy work at work. She had to go into the office basically all week. So she was unable to do Kara's kickover this week for us, unfortunately. But she did send over her nominee for her celebration and or routines. And all she said to me was, Faith Torres slays. That's all she said. So I do have to agree. Faith is a national champion as a team. She was a member, obviously, of Oklahoma Sooners that won the national title. And so she gets a ring this year. And we're going to talk a little bit about Faith a little more in a little bit. But she said, Faith slays. Faith Torres, that's it. So our last Kara's kickover for the season is Faith Torres. Only Faith Torres. All right, so we have our Fab Five, and we have nine, but who knows? By the time we get down to it, we may add or two or a couple here and there. We have Kim on this podcast, after all.
That's true.
But, Kim, let's start off with number one, and I'm not really sure we knew that this was going to happen prior to NCAAs because we didn't know the status of this individual, but it did, and what's number one on our list this week?
So number one is Trinity ties the 10 record. So she does. She ties the 10 record. However, you know, she does have that one spotted 10, we'll call it. But she did tie the 10 record. She had the 110 on vault at Nationals. I was hoping that she'd maybe have that 10 on bars. But, you know, she did a little flying in the dismount landing. But, yeah, she did tie the 10 record, which is still a major, huge accomplishment. So that should be acknowledged, rewarded, and celebrated. But, you know, I was kind of disappointed she didn't, like, break the 10 record. But she tied it, and good for her. It's exciting. She will remain down in history with everybody else. And she got a little video message from Jenny Hansen, which was kind of cool, and good for her.
It was funny because we were watching this on the floor at our regional championships in Fort Worth.
Well, meaning me
and some other coaches. Kim was involved in the media area.
Kim
she basically
busy.
Sat in media all time. All basically after every session in between sessions. Took about what hour, 2 hours to finish. But anyway, we were sitting on the floor watching some of the coaches and I, and they were saying that Trinity Thomas is up, and I'm like, wait a minute, Florida's on vault. They're not on bars yet. And I was like, did I miss a rotation here? And nope, Trinity goes and vaults. And I don't know about that leg injury because that was an absolutely gorgeous vault. Beautiful Yurchenko 1.5. But apparently she didn't land a single one. She was falling on them all. Because I watched the stream, the individual streams on the events to watch our alums and what have you. And they were saying that she was having trouble landing them in warm-ups. Like she was sitting them down and stuff like that.
Why would you waste your landing on your warm-ups?
True story.
Why?
Yeah, if you have a bad leg, I guess.
If you have a lower leg injury, why even warm up at all?
True story. Yeah, I agree.
I would have just been like, I'm good. I'm just going to little run. No. I wouldn't land them either. I would have been like, it's cool. Don't land it. Just roll, tuck and roll it out.
So, yeah, awesome vault on that second day of competition. And then her bars were beautiful, I know, except for that little swim, as Kim already said. But
yeah. And she, you know, if she would not have gone swimming on her landing, she probably would have got an attend there too. But she went swimming.
Yep. She tried to fight.
Yeah. But hey, beautiful for her team. Number two, Sloan's little beam ending little strut. Let me tell you, I love. Like, her routines are great, but I'm there for the ending of all her routines because she is just the best. And her endings, and it's not cockiness, it's like confidence 100%. And she's always just like strutting it out and like applauding herself. But her like facial expressions and everything are the best. And after beam, she landed and she just kind of just like did this little like little strut back. It was, oh my God, I love her. I'm so glad. I love her. She's fantastic. I will watch all of her routine, but I'm really just there for the endings. That's it.
I wonder if her and Peyton had talked this year and said, okay, we're just going to do stuff at the end of our routines that just grab attention.
Oh, my God, did you see the end of Peyton's floor routine? I don't think I put that on here, but that goes along with this number two. The end of her floor routine.
In day one or in day two? Yeah. It's day two. I remember because we talked about it.
Not the white leotard. Not the white leotard. The blue leotard.
Okay, so it must be day one, yeah. Day one.
And she, like, ended her floor routine and, like, whatever she did coming off the floor, Peyton. You know, I remember writing a long time ago at a JO Nationals in, like, a little recap at how Peyton's, like, a walking emoji. She's a walking emoji.
Yep, absolutely.
And I love it. I love it. She has not changed a bit.
And you're not too old, Peyton. You can return for a fifth year. You can
Yes,
do
and if
it.
You have trouble deciding, as I said, in Pittsburgh, you call us.
Yes.
We'll help you through this. Number three, okay. My love for Anastasia Webb, we all know it, but Jordan Bowers. She's just Jordan Bowers. After watching these Nationals, Jordan Bowers, you will just now be Jordan Bowers. You're amazing. I have a new obsession. I love her. I mean, I've always loved her. She's just fantastic. I watched her on bars specifically because, you know, I had to watch Audrey Davis to see if she kept her legs together on her front giants and stuff. And, you know, if she'd ever get a 10, she's not going to. I really wanted her to. But I was watching Jordan Bowers' bar routine, and I was making my students. I made them watch gymnastics yesterday morning. I put the whole meet on the TV throughout their entire class. And, like, even during the presentation, I was like, no, we're going to have gymnastics over here in the corner. And just Jordan Bowers, you're gorgeous. And she's like 5'6". Did you know that? She's like 5'6". She's so tall.
I've been side by side with her at championships before.
Yeah,
so
she's
yes,
like 5'6". Because somebody asked, and I Googled it because we were doing the wall sit. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, guys, feel inspired for the wall sit test. Gymnastics is on. And I made them watch it, and they're like, we feel inadequate. And Jordan Bowers was on bars. I'm like, no, let Jordan Bowers come into your heart. And then she stuck her landing. I'm like, see, look, that's the position you're in right now, stuck landing position. And someone's like, she's like 5'2". I'm like, no, she's, wait, let me Google it, 5'6".
Yeah, her overall package of gymnastics is just awesome to watch. I mean, there are skills that I know people have mentioned that wish that she would still do, like her handspring front on beam, but who in the heck in college gymnastics would ever try that?
Jordan Bowers.
But, no, just it's phenomenal how well she's adapted to college gymnastics and taken on that role of just being that kind of that leader of that team. And and she's great. Yeah, no, she's fun to watch. Great gymnastics, great form. You could tell the elite side of her gymnastics is her.
Absolutely.
But then again, you can tell that almost with the entire team in Oklahoma.
Well, she's my new obsession, but as Jordan Bowers, no longer as Anastasia Webb. But don't worry, I still love Anastasia Webb.
So the name of this podcast will just strictly be Jordan Bowers.
There Jordan Bowers.
That's it.
Anastasia Webb. Okay, number four.
All right, here we go.
Are you ready to fight about this? So, okay. And I fully stand behind what I'm about to say. Utah is the gymnastics dynasty, and I'm fully ready to back this up.
Okay.
Go for it.
I do agree with you, the sense that they are a program that obviously has been around and been invested and in the depths of college gymnastics and the top of college gymnastics forever. Ever since the first Nationals. Yes. They've made every Nationals. I know where you're getting at it. You know, they've never missed one.
Yeah.
That is a dynasty, in a sense. However, doesn't a dynasty also then require you to win things?
No.
I think
it doesn't,
does.
No.
Oklahoma, I think, is developing into a dynasty because they literally walk into and just win. I mean, no one can touch them, even though Florida almost did and probably should have, because I think they were a little bit better in terms of gymnastics overall than Oklahoma was, even though Oklahoma can land like no other. But I don't know about Utah being a dynasty.
It, in terms of how you think of a dynasty, we're both right. You're thinking of a dynasty in terms of a traditional sports dynasty. You're right. Yes, Oklahoma is developing into a traditional sports dynasty in terms of the winning. Like, the Lakers are a sports dynasty in terms of winning. Utah is a traditional historic dynasty, like, in terms of a historical aspect, like, when you get down into, like, generational family-type dynasties, like the Ming dynasty or, like, the British dynasty. That's where I'm going with that because of the historical value of what I'm saying is a dynasty in terms of that, in terms of legacy and history, since they pretty much are the beginning of women's gymnastics in college, and they have the legacy. They've been to everything. They pretty much are the beginning. So yes, they are the gymnastics dynasty. But in terms of, yes, sports dynasty, yes, Oklahoma is building a sports dynasty. Utah is the gymnastics dynasty.
Okay. I looked it up while you were ranting on dynasty. And I guess based on definition, I have to give you the point on this because the fact it says a powerful group or family that maintains a position for a considerable time. If you look at it from that standpoint, yes, Utah has been to every nationals. But the thing is, they haven't won since 1990-something.
But it doesn't matter.
They're just always there. They just don't have that pushover type gymnastics, I guess, to take that step over that, you know. But okay. I mean, I do agree that Utah is one of the, obviously, the premier programs in the country because obviously they make nationals every single year, no matter what regional they're in. I just think Oklahoma is on that Georgia type thing where Georgia took command of gymnastics for all the 90s, basically, and was a dynasty at that time. Obviously, are they a dynasty right now? No, you wouldn't consider that but at that time they were because they won.
That's why I'm saying. That's why I said we're both right because you are thinking of it in the traditional sports dynasty type of way. That's where you went. Since I have a history degree, I went with how they're a dynasty in the sense that you just looked up because do you think I didn't know the definition of
Yes, I know you did. I just wanted to see it word for word, like written out, and it's written out, it fits Utah. I mean, you would slide Utah in there and that would fit the definition. So I get it. I'll give you a point for that. I just look at it from the standpoint of Oklahoma is getting to a point where, like, I guess there was a press conference at Nationals and someone asked KJ, or she mentioned something about a shirt in the audience that said, anybody else but Oklahoma. And she says, really? That's what we're at or whatever? So like that kind of thing. People want to see other people win because Oklahoma just keeps winning. And so you look at that, you think about that, you're like, they're a dynasty because they just keep winning. But I do agree. I understand you throw Utah under that definition and Utah fits. So we'll call it a truce and Utah, Oklahoma dynasties of college gymnastics. How about that?
That works. Yeah.
But speaking of dynasty or speaking of Utah and one that is an icon or will become an icon in college gymnastics would be O'Keefe. Miley O'Keefe is a 10. She needs a 10. She'll get a 10. She needed like a 9.975 to tie for the all around title and a 9.9 or something like that. And then a 10 to win. What does she get?
She got a 10.
Like she is amazing. You talk a little bit about like Jordan Bowers and how like just her gymnastics stands out and just, you know, really draws your attention to. Miley O'Keefe is that way for Utah. I mean, it's just beautiful gymnastics. She does, you know, Arabian double front off bars and lands like, you know how I say GPS on Rutgers vault? She has GPS for that landing on her dismount. Like her feet just land. They don't move. They just land. That's just how it is. But the fact that she can just go up and get 10s almost all the time on beam, whenever she wants to, she can command a 10. And there were four judges count, and she got a 10. I mean, that's how good Miley O'Keefe is.
I think I'm going to get a 10 today.
And that's all she does. She salutes, and this will be a 10. I mean, that's just what we're going to happen here. It's phenomenal. And just to watch her. But again, one of those things where, you know, she just... It's just not enough. We need like they need two or three more Miley O'Keefes.
I think I'm gonna get a 10 today.
Yeah. Well, good, Kim. I'm glad you're gonna get a 10.
I am. So,
but shout out to Miley. That's awesome, as she is the national beam champion, if I'm not mistaken. correct?
Yeah, and, yes.
And the national all-around champion as well, clearly.
Well, she got a
she got a 10 at that meet. So. That's right. That's where she got the 10. I was thinking finals, but I was thinking you're right. She got a 10 at prelims that would qualify her to the all, or made her the all-around champion as well. So, yes, she is also the beam champion with a perfect 10. So it fits the season. It fits her season.
I don't think anybody else beat her on beam. So.
Correct. The 10.1 did not happen in this meet. So. Not this week. Not this weekend. Or 10.02265375. Yeah. After, you know. So anyway, Miley, you're the 10. Number six, we've got quite a few that have now committed to coming back in their fifth years. And we've heard
and
them.
And some that haven't let us know.
And
yet.
Some that we know, but we can't release. A few I learned this weekend at regionals that we can't announce. But Kim, why don't you go ahead and just talk through some of the ones we know for sure.
Well, Q, Aria, Naya, Sierra, Gabby, Molly, Peyton, and Amanda.
So Molly Paris from Eastern Michigan has committed to coming back next year. She wants to see what a fifth year is like. Peyton Murphy and Amanda Gruber. Both have committed prior to the season being over. We already knew that, that they were coming back, so that they weren't part of their senior meet weekend, which we were actually at. She was commentating. I was at watching. They weren't part of their senior, true senior meet, so they were coming back. So Naya Smith has officially let us know that she's coming back, although we've already knew that. Aria just very recently also committed to coming back. So Sierra, Gabby, we've known that for a week or so, a couple weeks though. But it's awesome to see, and we hope for more. And I do know a few more that are coming, but we'll obviously have to wait until they make their announcements before we will announce it here. So we are excited for more alums to stick around as we usher in our new crop of Region 5 alums from this year's meet, this year's Region 5 Dream Team, as well as Region 5 as a total. We've got some good seniors about to wrap up their JO or their dev careers at Nationals and move on to college gymnastics, and we're excited to see them compete in the next level for sure. Number seven, Kim.
Jason.
Kim. Jason. Audrey Davis. How do you give Audrey Davis a 9.9 on that routine in prelims? Okay, maybe she has some little leg thing here and there. Okay, we're fine. That is not a 9.9 routine. She stuck that double front Arabian or double front half cold, and her and they go 9.925 in team finals, but they go 9.9 in prelims.
So
please.
Her and you know what, and I've been watching because okay, there are some routines that her front giants or her inverted giants or whatever. Her legs come apart, but she's been gluing those toes together, like toes and legs. You know what? I think it's in her dismount because her legs come super apart when she does that half. I swear, they're taking it all in that dismount. They have to. That's the only place to take anything is that dismount. That's the only place. Only place. That's they have to be taking it there. That's the only place.
But we can give a 10 for a step on a beam dismount.
We can, yes, we can because they give. Okay, I'm gonna tell you why they give it. They give a 10 for the step in the dismount because when Trinity Thomas lands, she lands and then they stop watching. So, but in the she lands, they stop watching. She could have done a little jig and they wouldn't have noticed because they stop as soon as she like got out of the air. When you're in the air, they're still watching.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
But no, because I like because her feet, her legs have gotten better. They're glued together when she does when she comes the front, you know, up the front. But she in the dismount when she her legs are apart when she goes to turn, they're like meh. They're taking the whole thing in the dismount. That's what it is. That's the only possible place. That's the only thing I can fathom.
I like to see her actually do Higgins' immediate double front half, but I think she needs that extra front giant to build that energy to do a good double front half. But yeah, no, I just it is the best routine in college gymnastics. It literally is. Jordan is the national champion. I get the routine has huge difficulty. She's trying to keep within her elite. You know, that's her second half of her routine. So she's not even doing the beginning of her routine. She's only doing the second half in college. And it's awesome and it's hard and it's difficult and it's great to see. But Audrey Davis just has the best line and position, gymnastics. It's just, I don't know.
But until she glues her legs back together on her half out, they're not going to give her a 10, and that's really, really sad.
It is sad.
That, And I mean,
and she's not, she was 14th, I think. She's not 14th in the country on bars. I'm sorry, she's not 14th in the country on bars, but that's just how things went. And she's probably with a 9-way tie for 9-9, but she's not 14th. It's just nobody she's not 14th.
I'm sorry, nobody that's going to do inverted giants in college is going to be, should be 14th anywhere.
No,
it's, nobody that does 14th. Inverted giants, period, should be 14th no, anywhere.
She should be an All American on bars, hands down.
She should at least be second.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, how far down they go based on scores, if it's top four scores, and then everyone who has those scores get it or what it is. But if she's not, she should be an All-American on bars.
Absolutely. So. I completely agree. I think her bar routine is amazing. And the fact that she does invert giants is amazing because I love a good, you know, shoulder dislocation thing. Oh, my God. My gymnast yesterday, quick story, side note. She was doing roundy rounds or tall circles or whatever. I call it a roundy round, and Kim Riley yelled at me the other day. When I kept calling it a roundy round, she's like, it's a toe circle. I'm like, sorry, roundy round. But anyways, so she was learning how to do them because she fell on her squat on it at state meet. And I'm like, okay, we're learning these. Well, so she's on the strap bar. She's all strapped in, right? And she has her feet on the bar. And she was going around, we were trying to go around. But then she got back to standing on top of the bar. And she started falling forward. And instead of just leaving her feet on the bar and falling forward, she came off. Mm-hmm. And she like,
yep.
So her arms are like backwards like this, you know? But like that, like skin the cat.
Yep.
And there was nothing I could do about it from across the gym. Like I was on the pit bar and you just have to watch it happen. And she just kind of was like, poof. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, I don't understand why they do that. I don't get it. Just keep rolling. You're rolling anyway. Why are you going to get off or sit up or take your feet off? I just don't understand.
Right. I was like, oh. And then she just, well, she clearly has flexible shoulders.
Yes.
Well, she does now, but she did. She does. She does anyways. But I was like, oh. Ooh, and she's just hanging there. She skins the cat herself back, you know? And then she comes on the block and she's hanging, like, just staying like this. I'm like, you okay? She's like, She's like fighting the tears. I'm like, you can come out of the straps now, you know? She's like, Like that. Thank God we have our Jim Kiwi strap bar straps by Jim Kiwis. Because, like,
check
she easily
out.
Came
Jim
out.
JimKiwi.com.
Please visit JimKiwi.com. But we have those. And she easily just. But oh my God, I felt bad for the poor girl. She couldn't do anything the rest of the day. Her shoulders hurt so bad. Anyways,
JimKiwis.com. They're not a sponsor, but if you use code Reachin5Insider, you do get 15% off. Just saying. But that's a good friend of ours, Brandon. He owns the company. So JimKiwis.com.
And they're amazing. My athletes, girls and boys, love them. They come in three sizes.
There you go. JimKiwis.com, Reachin5Insider, 15% off. Number eight. If you watch the live stream events, you'll never watch the telecast again, which is not true because I'd prefer watch the telecast and then go back. But the things you see when you get to watch the event from start to finish, every single competitor, all the things, the amount of chalk that these girls stand in, roll in, step in, put on their bodies. I mean, I was watching floor stream and they're like rubbing inside their thighs and around on their thighs and walking in the chalk and running in
oh
the chalk,
God.
Then getting more chalk and putting more chalk down. And and Ashley Miles says, yes, this is what we do in gymnastics. We take more chalk and put it on our feet and more chalk. It shows that we're waiting for this judge to go and we have nothing else to do because we don't want to get nervous. So this keeps our mind off of gymnastics.
But do you know there is a deduction for excessive use of chalk?
Well, I don't
Nobody
think.
Nobody ever uses it.
No, clearly, because there's chalk everywhere.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Okay, so, but like if you look in the judging cards, you know, those little cards that they have like the where they flip over with like the out of bounds and all that crap. There is a card in there that says excessive use of chalk, and there is a deduction for it. It might not exist anymore, but like there used to be a deduction for excessive use of chalk, and it's like a tenth or like 3/10. It's something. I'm going to go dig it out, but
no one uses it.
Clearly not anymore.
No one's using it, or it's not there anymore because holy crap.
Current judges, please flip through your cards and tell us, is excessive use of chalk still in your deck of cards?
Next year at nationals or regionals or wherever it may be that you want to do this, I think the NCAA should take and have two separate boxes of chalk. One that is used only for the chalk trays for bars. The other box is used for any chalk that is used, like in those little chalk feet things or anything like that, and see where you go through more chalk. I have a feeling it's going to be the chalk that people put all over themselves.
Oh my God.
Not the bar chalk.
Yeah. Like if you stand,
it's so funny.
It's hilarious. And they carry, like, it's hilarious. I've stood and watched them do this before.
Yeah, and they run in it, they walk in it, they, like, do all their feet, they turn and slide, and it was just hilarious to watch, and every single kid does it.
Well, in between their, in between their thighs, under their armpits.
Yep, everything. They walk, they bathe in it.
Deodorant.
Oops, missed my deodorant today. I'll put on chalk.
Pat it around on their face.
Everywhere. Everywhere.
It is everywhere.
I was like, craziness. Like, how much? I mean, you watch those behind the scenes. You see a lot of stuff going on. You see a lot of the team stuff going on in the, because the cameras follow as they do the high fives and, you know, all that type of stuff. Oh, my God. It's hysterical. And it looked like the way that the judging platform was for bars when they would come off one of the stairs, that they had to, like, go through a cattle call to get out of there to go back to their little thing. And, like, I was like, where is she going? She's, like, walking around. Forget what it was. I think it was at UCLA. But it was walking around and, like, around again. It looked like she was coming out, or like you're at an amusement park, and to get off the ride, you got to take the thing all the way around. I was like, where is she going? It was hysterical.
She has to get hosed off.
Exactly. But those are the fun parts about those streams. Like, watch of the event streams for nationals. I like to watch the meet, like, you know, Bart and Kathy do a great job, and I like how they flow from event to event and whatever. That's awesome. But we'd go back and just watch some of the craziness, the chalk that comes off of those live streams was hysterical. Plus, that's the only real way we could watch all our alums, because they didn't show everybody. So
the chalk.
Oh, crazy. Anyway, the last but not least, we did have a champion. Maybe not on the competition floor, but the champion. And funny thing is, Michigan won both of these, which is awesome to see. Go blue.
Paul Judah
won the Nissan Award, which is the men's side, Heisman Trophy for men, and the Honda Award winner, Kim, who won our Honda Award winner?
Sierra Brooks
won the Honda Award. Yes, it's so awesome for her. Well, second one in a row for Michigan, actually.
Yeah. And you know what's funny? So I was going through some social media thing, and I saw that Paul Judah won for the men, and then obviously I saw Sierra won for the women first. But I saw Paul Judah won. I was like, wait a minute, because they had won something else together from Michigan, some Chicago thing. When I was there, I took a picture of them together, for something, that some awards people from Chicago present to U of M people for people from Chicago. I don't know. Sierra, they know. They talked to me about it. But I thought that was funny that they both won the Honda and the whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nissan. The Nissan Award.
The Nissan Award together. And they had just won whatever that Chicago area award for a Michigan people was together. But that's really exciting. I'm really glad that Sierra won. Like, that's very deserving.
Yeah, the Honda Award is basically the Heisman Trophy for women's gymnastics, as the Nissan Award is the Honda Trophy for men's side of gymnastics.
Yeah.
George Nissan, his trophy's a handstand. It's cool. He used to do handstands on tables at Nationals banquet. I was alive during Nissan being alive going to banquets, so that's why I know. He did handstands on the banquet tables.
Oh.
It was always
cool.
Are you gonna
start doing handstands on banquet?
Maybe I should be the Nissan Award trophy thing. I was doing handstands on banquet tables.
Maybe we should have our own award, and it should be Jason doing handstands on tables.
Maybe it should. We may have to add some new awards to the Yahtzee Awards this year. I do know we have to add the pit crew one, because a lot of coaches want that.
What do they want?
They want the pit crew award. What group does it the best at Nationals? And at regionals, I guess a couple coaches could tell you who could not get the award get the award for the slowest pit crew.
Okay, oh my gosh.
But yes, the pit crew. You'd have to film all the pit crews at Nationals and how fast, who does it the best. Which age group does it the best?
Good thing you're at bars.
Yes, I'd have to do it.
You handle that.
I have to do it. While I'm filming Coaching Wired, while I'm doing this, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey.
So
that's so great. But I'm gonna have to make a note of that. The pit crew.
Who changes bars the quickest? Which age group? But it's funny, because there'll be some coaches in multiple age groups, so. Do you feel unprepared for the recruiting process? Do you even know where to begin? If not, Full Out Collegiate Recruiting has you covered. Their comprehensive, leave no stone unturned, approach has been proven time and time again. Through online tutorials, personal advising, and media support, they aim to place their clients at the schools that fit them academically, athletically, and socially. Mention Region 5 in your free consultation and receive 30% off the startup fee. Again, mention Region 5 for 30% off the startup fee. Schedule now at FulloutRecruit.com. All right, so moving into what would be Region 5 University. Of course, as we mentioned in our last podcast, the Region 5 University did not advance. But lucky for us, we can advance individuals to nationals because we just can.
Oh, can we now?
So we just do. Or some members of the team. So we have had 10 competitors competing on the floor at nationals, be it on the teams or as an individuals. So we do, I think there may have been some alums that did not actually compete, which we know because they're on Florida, we do. But the ones that actually competed on the floor at the meet, we had 10. So we're going to start off with the national champion as part of the Oklahoma Sooners, and that would be Olivia's slaying great Faith Torres. I do have to say something. I think her aerial layout blinds us to this balance beam routine. This balance beam routine for Faith is like a compulsory level 5 routine. Let's break it down. She does a wolf jump, which is enormous, by the way. She does her aerial layout step out. She does a switch leap straddle jump, and then she does a 1.5 dismount. I have never noticed this routine until I watched it at Nationals, how easy this balance beam routine is in terms of Faith Torres. The things that she can do a front tuck, she can do a back full, she can do a double back, she can do a double pike. She has so much that she can do. But the aerial layout is...
You're right. This is a level 5 beam routine.
Maybe not a level 5, but her aerial layout just blinds you to what realistically how not hard this routine is, especially for Faith. But this is why she scores 995 every single time she does. But aerial layout was absolutely gorgeous. I just thought I'd point that out. I was watching the routine. I'm writing it down like, oh, okay. I'm like, what the heck? This routine is so easy for her. But anyway, her floor was huge as always. A beautiful double layout, front to double back that she stuck cold in team finals. You know, awesome. And then she actually did her 1.5. She got to vault in finals as well. So, you know, hats off to Faith in her freshman year. She did phenomenally. She is the Big 12 freshman of the year and competed 2 events in prelims for Oklahoma and then 3 in finals. She has done the all around. So just a great freshman year for Faith for Oklahoma. Ellie Lazari, I put down here, this beam didn't mesh with her.
No. This was not her beam.
Ellie is phenomenal on balance beam. And usually we just watch her layouts and just kind of drool and, you know, oh my God, that's so gorgeous. It's just awesome to watch. She did make it in prelims, but she wobbled on it. She wobbled pretty much on every single skill in prelims, unfortunately, but still got like a 9.8 or something like that, which because Ellie. And then beam finals, flip-flop, layout. I don't know when the last time I've seen her fall. I know she has. I think she did this year, but we didn't see that meet because I remember seeing a score that was low. But off on her layout, it was just so devastating to see. Because Ellie has been so good on beam for Florida this year. And, you know, it was just awesome that she was out there competing because, you know, she tore Achilles. So coming back this year, only being able to do beam, that was her only event, you know, that she had to do. And then, you know, obviously not having the nationals on beam that she would have liked is upsetting and sad for her, I'm sure, as for us to watch. So we'll look forward to more from Ellie next year because I'm sure she'll be back on more events with the full year of recovery from the Achilles. Peyton Richards. Well, we just love Peyton Richards. We can say lots about Peyton Richards, but can we just talk about what she does prior to beam? Another one of these behind the scene things. She literally takes her finger, licks her thumb, licks it, marks on the beam, and then does it again. So she's put her thumb on a beam where everyone's feet are on, licks it again to make the mark. I was like, Peyton, what are you doing? Do you not like chalk? So you just lick and put it on the beam? I was like, ew. I never noticed that. But again, the live streams, those full events, you see a lot. But it was very, very interesting to see. But very good on floor. I think this is the best and the most enjoyable of her floor routines, of her year this year. I was telling Kim that earlier. Beautiful tumbling, absolutely gorgeous double layout as always. But I thought she just, I don't know, settled in or performed, or it just fit a little better. I don't know what it was about it, but it definitely was good. And then she's already mentioned the craziness afterward, like always. You know, just the reactions. I think that's the best part of Peyton. The reactions this year will be remembrance of Peyton Murphy. Peyton Richards. I don't recall that this being what is a norm for her in these last few years. Like, this year was, like, just more.
Yeah.
Would you agree? Like, we just got more of it.
I agree. We've gotten more of it, but I feel like this was like the Peyton we got in the end of J.O. You know,
yeah.
Like I have video from J.O. of Peyton being silly like this, or like before. I remember like her senior year before routine, her looking at the camera being like, you know, like the end of senior year in J.O. is mimicking the end of senior year in college. But this is like 20 times more.
Exactly. No.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think we're all about it. And we definitely, Peyton,
remember,
again, Peyton, fifth year, come back.
I feel like we need a fifth year, and I feel like we need this amped up like 20
exactly.
times more.
And I just think Florida needs somebody that they can rely on, clearly, that Peyton just goes in whenever, you know, they need her on anything that they, you know, need her on. So kind of like Riley McCusker this year. Both of them have, like, just kind of fit in. Beam, unfortunately, was not her friend at Nationals either. One of it was she got a 9-6 on one of the days. I can't remember which day it was. She went 9-6 on Beam, very wobbly. But anyway, we just love her antics, and her double layout's gorgeous. Her 1.5 as well. Her 1.5 on vault was very nice, too. Mm-hmm. Andy. I think she competed all around, but she did all around every meet this year. Never fell. That's pretty awesome. Love her front aerial layout step out on Beam. I think that's just something that she didn't do in club. It's not something that she used in club gymnastics. She always did flip-flop layout. She does front aerial standing layout step out as her flight series. Love it. I think it's cool.
Oh, my God. For a hot second, I was thinking front aerial layout step out, like going front ones. I'm like, wouldn't that just be front aerial? And she doesn't do that.
No, she does not. That would be Helen Hume.
I was like, what routine were you watching? No.
Front aerial, standing layout step out. It's really cool that she does that. And that was not something she probably played with it, because Andy played with everything known to man in terms of gymnastic skills. But stuck, gainer full. My favorite moment, though, of Andy the entire time was she stuck her vault. She did hop on her vault. Let me say she made her vault. Hit her vault well, and then they put the bear head on, and she just runs down the vault runway with this bear head on. I was like, hope you don't trip and fall as you run with this big thing. And then by the time she gets to the booth, she didn't even high five any of her teammates with it on. It was already off. So it was just for the run. So the bear head for vault is just for the run back to the team. That's what the bear head is. So awesome job for Andy again this year. Gabby Paria did not have the nationals that I'm sure she wanted. She peeled on a Maloney half. I don't know when the last time I've seen Gabby peel on a Maloney half. This is the reason why California, unfortunately, did not advance, because they had to can't.
It's because they're throwing chalk all over the place.
That's probably that. There's too much chalk everywhere.
It's just too much chalk.
They had to count two falls. Unfortunately, the two falls came from Region 5 alums. But she peeled off. And a big step back on her side semi-full. Full and a half, I'm sorry. Big step back on that,
really?
which is weird, because we haven't seen that much this year. Under rotation at all. I don't think I've seen her under rotate it. She under rotated it at Nationals, unfortunately. But she had like 9-7s. I don't know when the last time we saw Gabby with one or two 9-7s, let alone she had 9-7, 9-7, and an 8-9. That was her score. So not the Nationals that Gabby obviously would have liked to have. And then Ella Cesario, we've mentioned that she's back this year. She had gorgeous bars, absolutely huge Jaeger. Goes into her bail, and her right arm decided that it wasn't going to grab today. She didn't want to be on the bar anymore, and she came crashing to the floor. Crashing to the floor, which was kind of scary at first, because you see it. I knew she fell, but I didn't know what she fell on. And so I was like, okay, is she going to fall on a Jaeger? Oh, no, she got that. Or is she going to cast over, and then she can fall on a Jaeger? No, and then she goes flying over and bail, missed her hands, and hit the floor. I'm like, well, I guess that's where she fell. but then got up and did an awesome double layout as usual, and I finished this routine strong, which they did have to count her score, because her score was higher than Gabby's. So Luckily, she was able to finish. We got to see Mila Brusch did vault in team finals for Denver. The tape job on her leg, I don't know if you saw her, but it goes from her hip all the way around her knee and down her calf with a tape around her knee. So something's going on there. It was a very large tape job, but it didn't seem to affect her. Very nice layout, Yurchenko, and she was very excited about it. Layout full and very, very excited about this vault. I feel Mila's vaults are almost all like the same. Like they're just big. They look like the one she did in Nationals last year. Awesome. She can do a 1.5. Maybe we'll get to see it soon. But yeah, her tape job on her leg was crazy. I mean, the fact that, hope that nothing's too serious. Well, breaking news, while we are talking about our Region 5 alums at Nationals, we have a news. And Kim, why don't you give us everyone the news, because you and I are probably the most happy, maybe more than her. No, I was kidding.
Megan Teeter from Ball State is coming back for a fifth year.
Awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Ball State, oh my God. This is where you start to put Teeter in the all around. And she does all around because this is what we want for next year. That's so cool. Megan, welcome back.
She's coming back.
So Megan Teeter will be back on our podcast all next year, and we might just have to have Megan Teeter as an alumni conversation this summer.
Yes.
Moving back into finishing up our college gymnastics NCAA championships talk, Delaney Harkness. Obviously it's awesome that Delaney got to Nationals. We would have liked Michigan State to have been there as a team, of course, but it's great to see Delaney there because she deserves that individual recognition because she's an awesome and phenomenal athlete. However, none of us would have thought Floor would have been the event that she'd ever go for.
And Western just announced that Peyton and Amanda and Josie Thomas are all coming back. Well, we already knew that.
We knew that. We knew that.
I know. I'm just.
I know. But we obviously didn't think that Delaney would be on Floor. Bars would be the place that I thought she would make. We'd think she'd make Nationals if she was there by herself. Beautiful full in, and John goes at the end of the routine, "I just love that choreography." That was John's comment. Love the choreography. She nailed the heck out of that routine. Beautiful front to double back last pass. She was giving it there. She really was enjoying herself. I enjoyed watching that routine more than maybe the others just because it was her first time out there. The first national she's been to as an athlete. And remember, her first year for sure was not so good year at Michigan State when they had to cancel, their season halfway through. So with COVID. So it's good to see her out there and reaping that individual success. And it was a great routine. I know she posted this was an experience above all experiences on her social media. So awesome to see that. And then another Michigan State Spartan there, Gabby Stevens. Not her best beam this particular week. She did stay on. She did do a front kickover layout to scale, kind of. Maybe not. We're not sure.
Roger and Kristen and I were laying on the floor right over by the media thing, we were laying on the floor watching this, and we were like, what is that? And then she lands it, and then she like goes to this, she like wobbles and like goes to this scale, and we're like, hey, new skill. Is that a new skill? Can that be a new skill? Did she just invent a new skill?
But it wasn't even a scale, really, because it kind of like went out and then to the back and then stepped in.
Yeah,
so it was like she was just trying to wave.
It was totally like a front toss to a Rome de Jam. To a scale. There you go.
It's a skill.
If the compulsories can do a Rome de Jam, so can she. Right out of the front toss.
It's the Stevens. Please start doing kickover layout fronts to Rome de Jam. There you go.
Exactly. Kickover front to Rome de Jam to scale.
Yes. And if you want to, you can do flip-flop layout quarter turn land and call that the Stevens as well.
I'm just saying.
A couple did that.
Might as well. Invent some new skills.
So not Gabby's best routine, but she stayed on, and I'm sure she soaked in that experience as well to help propel the Spartans into Nationals hopefully next year. And we did get news that Big Tens will be at Michigan State this year. So
yes, it will be.
One way or the other, Kim and I will be there. I know Kim will be, but we'll see what my schedule is because that's always state meet week. Although by the sounds of the dates, it may be level 7-8 state, and guess who? Where I'm going? I'll be going to Big Tens. Anyway, moving on. But yes, we'd be excited to see, obviously Big Tens at Michigan State next year. And then the good old Honda Award winner Sierra Brooks made the most of her one event. She killed it out there, strong tumbling, beautiful full end. She did take a stepping lunge. It wasn't a, it was controlled, but it was a stepping lunge, and then a nice front to double back. She looked like she was having fun. I mean, you could tell that she kind of wanted to be there with the team, but I was going to make the most of it and have fun with it. She did have fun with it, and you know, did a good job. I think she got like a 9.925 on floor. So, you know, awesome to see, and it was fun to watch. And it's great to see when they our alums get to compete as individuals, but obviously a lot of them would have more preferred to be there as a team. We're excited that we finished up with some good performances at Nationals from our alums, and we look forward to, you know, another great season in 2024. To wrap up this year's podcasts for the season, we have the best of 2023. And so what Kim and I did is we looked at all four events, and we just picked the athletes that for some reason stood out to us one way or the other. Different events obviously have different criteria, but, you know, that either just really stepped it up this year or made an impact, or were like, you know what? Every time I watch this routine, I could not take my eyes off of it. One of those type things. And I'm Vault's a very a good group of athletes that have really been impressive all year. Number one in our list, Suki Pfister. Obviously, her pike front half this year, minus MAC championships and regionals. You know, Max, I thought, was better than her score. Regionals, you know, she came out a little early. But as a season, she 9.95s, 9.9s, 9.925s pretty consistently. Just awesome to see Suki so successful on that and floor this year. But vault was just huge.
Vault was incredibly huge. And I think, you know what, maybe someday she will win MAC championships as she deserves to.
Exactly. Sydney Jennings from Ohio State has had very consistent vaults, and she has announced that she is done. She has put that post finally out, so there'll be no sixth year for Sydney Jennings.
Yeah, there's not going to be a sixth year because, like,
our fingers crossed and all that can go away now because she's announced that she is officially done. But her Yurchenko full was very consistent, and I think that was on our lineup. Every time Ohio State was on our lineup, she is
the official holder of the float and flare, and her vault, I have loved her vault, and she has done that vault beautifully since she was a JO level 10 from Olympia for years and years and years and years and years. This vault is just amazing.
Yes.
And it has been, and I just love it.
And thank you, Sydney, for sending us your 1.5 video, which we're not 100% sure why we never saw that in competition. But anyway, we were glad we saw it.
Yes, thank you for that.
Yes. We did get to see a 1.5 from Q this year. She competed a few times and then went back to her full for the championship season. But awesome to see. Hopefully, we'll see it next year. Maybe.
Yep, Let's see it, Q.
So maybe we will see it more next year. We'll see. But excited, obviously, that Q is coming back.
So excited that I sent you the post at 3 a.m. excited.
True story. Two vaults that definitely caught our eye this year, and not because necessarily they're new, but just the improvement on them as the course of the year went on. Sage Kellerman had a nice pike half at Nationals. I mean, she went 9.9 or 9.85, a second at Nationals. So it wasn't like it was a new big vault, but she just took command at the beginning of the year and at the end of the year of this front pike half. It was fun to watch. Awesome. Sucks I missed it on video when I was at Big Tens. Had to steal Michigan State's video for that video I did. Sorry, Michigan State. I'm sure you don't mind. And then the one that definitely has made the biggest progress and definitely stood out this year would be Cassie St. Clair's tuck 1.5. You know, the way she has improved the position, the form, the height, the landing. I know you've mentioned it many times this year on our podcast.
Yeah, that'd be that cause 1.5 that she does.
Correct. The tuck 1.5, but it is cause 1.5. Yeah. But it is still a tuck 1.5.
I know. I just wanted to say it.
You just wanted to say the correct name. But you've mentioned it many times, just how much you've improved from when you saw her
it
at
has.
JO and watched.
Yeah, because in JO, it was slightly frightening. I believe I even said that on the broadcast, but it was slightly frightening. But it has gotten so good. So, so good. And same with Sage. Like, Sage's vault was never frightening, but, like, it has just gotten so good. And even during the season, like, it was at the beginning of the season, she opened with 9-9 and then got a little wonky and then like finished the season with like, you know, Big Ten champion. So like both these vaults, both went, had their ups and downs, but ended the season with just incredible, incredible improvement and both just so, so good.
Yeah, it was awesome to see. And then we had another duo at number five, Gabby and Nikki from Michigan State. Gabby, I mean, was a 9-9. I mean, she scored a perfect 10, 9-9-5, a couple times this year. Just, you know, always finding that landing, and it's just so nice. Such a beautiful vault. To watch. And then, of course, Nikki with the 10-0 this year on vault. Yurchenko 1.5. Another one that we've – it's not new. She did it in club. She would do it well in club. But I think she is getting better at finding where that landing is in college now.
Except for that one.
Except for the one at regionals. Yeah, except for regionals. But but it's fine. We'll forget about that. Just the excellence that Nikki has shown on vault, and then she also got a 10 this year.
I didn't see that vault at regionals, so it, to me, it doesn't exist.
So it never happened. But 10-0 for Nikki in her freshman year on vault is awesome. So that's our standouts on vault for us this year that we definitely, you know, paid attention to and took notice of the course of the season on vault. Yeah. Moving over to bars and number one, I thought we weren't going to ever see this again, but apparently we're going to get to. But Megan Teeter adding the double front half out, already a stellar bar routine with a double front and a nice blindfold to Kachev. We're going to get to see another year of that. Very excited. That routine was awesome, and glad that she was able to qualify to regionals as well and do that routine. Wasn't her best routine at regionals, so guess what? She can try to make up for that in her fifth year. Awesome to see. Jory Jacquard, a 10 on bars this year. Jory has phenomenal bars. We've watched Jory do bars for a very, very long time, club and NCAA. Beautiful lines, and definitely just made the most of her senior year and obviously scoring the 10 and being able to say, I've scored a 10 in college gymnastics is awesome. So Jory on bars, one that we'll definitely have remembered from 2023. We've already talked about Ella being at Nationals, Cesario, but the fact that she's back this year, she's competing, did not compete her freshman year, just to see her out there and you know, beautiful bar routine other than the one she did at Nationals. Beautiful Jaeger, no regional, she hit it very well to help, you know, obviously California advance, and you know, just awesome to see Ella out there again with vault and floor, vault and bars, and who knows, maybe we'll see her in more events in her true sophomore season, which would be her junior season. So number four, I have a combo of Leah Kamichik and Emma Pritchard, both doing outstanding jobs for their schools. Leah Kamichik, of course, at Central Michigan. I just love her bar swing, and her double layout is gorgeous. Always beautiful to watch on bars. We've mentioned her with her sister being more of a skill and like just dynamic athlete. Leah has a lot better, like, and more lines and flow and prettiness to her gymnastics, and it shows up on bars. Emma Pritchard was the leadoff, if I'm not mistaken, for Ohio State on bars this season, and absolutely very consistent. Beautiful clear pan ginger. Her ginger is gorgeous. And then pretty much on a regular blindfold double tuck stick. So always a good solid leadoff for Emma on for Ohio State on bars, and definitely wanted to make mention of that for that. And then number five is my athlete, Peyton Murphy, and I put her on here because I was incredibly impressed with her blindfold toe front half this year. A couple times she missed the connection, but for the most part, and even in the pressure situations at max and at regionals, she did it connected. So, you know, hats to her, hats off to her, just changing that dismount because she's had a few years of dismounts, and I think this one really settles in for her, and she likes it, and she does a great blindfold. So, you know, why not do the blindfold toe front half? And she proved that this year, and it was awesome to see. So, Kim, you want to tackle beam?
Sure, I will flip-flop layout myself onto beam.
Good.
I'm going to start at number one, Rachel Rybicki from Alabama. So I picked her, well, she's on our list because she is a freshman. She got thrown into the mix, like, in the middle of the season, and she hit. Girl, she did it. So I was just really impressed with her being able to be thrown into an Alabama beam lineup and killing it, going 9-9 I think once or twice, but she was able to go get thrown into that crazy lineup and really deliver. So Rachel Rybicki, just amazing. Number two, Gabby Stevens and Ellie Lazzari, both incredible. And we already talked about Gabby at Nationals and her beam work. But Gabby has become a beamer. She was never a super beamer in the past, but she has become a beamer for sure. Beautiful to watch on this event, especially with that kickover front that we've talked about numerous times throughout this season. And now she's invented a new skill, that kickover layout front to the rum jump scale. Maybe people will start doing it. Maybe it'll become a thing. We don't know. And then Ellie Lazzari is just flawless on beam, except for that one time, that one meet last weekend, when she wasn't so flawless. But she is gorgeous to watch on beam. You cannot take your eyes off her when she's on beam. Super beautiful to watch. And she only does beam for Florida. And I mean, as she should, because she's amazing. And then number three, Grace Sumner. She is just your quiet athlete beamer in the background. She's at Ball State. And I think she, a little bit at Ball State, gets overshadowed by Teeter and Suki. But Grace Sumner is amazing. She is gorgeous on beam. She's gorgeous on bars. But it's really beam. She started in the beam lineup as a freshman, and she is just beautiful. Her lines, she does aerial flip-flop, but her lines are just exquisite on this event, and she is just gorgeous. She's gone 9-9 a bunch of times, but if you have not seen her competing on beam before, you need to watch her because she's just exquisite. You cannot take your eyes off her on beam. So definitely one of my favorites to watch all season, but you just cannot count her out or lose her in amongst Ball State, because she's just great. Number four, Alyssa Alashari. Her beam mount is anything but a beam mount. It is a poetry onto the beam. Who does a round off layout step out onto the beam in college? Alyssa Alashari does. She's amazing. I'm so glad she's doing this mount. She did it many moons ago in Elite, when she did Elite, and then she brought it back, and that was the highlight of my lifetime when she decided to bring this back. It literally made me the happiest person on the planet, because she does it so well, and beam is her event. She's so good at it. When Alyssa Alashari mounts the beam, you want to watch. And then number five here, Ella Chimati. Ella Chimati has come a long way from the little level 10 who would not let me video or take a picture of her for the life of me until it was level 10 nationals. State meet, regionals, Kim, don't even think about it. Don't even look in my direction. Her coaches were very superstitious. And after beam at regionals this year, at Pitt, and she went and she hit, I went up to her. I'm like, Ella, you have come a long way, girl. And we had a little laugh about it, her, me, and Katie and Sam at regionals, about just joking about how I could never take a video or a picture of her. And Katie and Sam are just dying laughing about it. And Ella's like, I know, they were so superstitious. But now look at me. I'm like, I know, now look at you. I can take pictures of you all day long. I could probably crawl up under the beam and take a photo of you, and you'd be just fine with it. She's like, I know, I would. So Ella Chimati is just beautiful. And last year, we all thought she was going to win the MAC championship last year, but she did not have a great showing. And she actually won bars last year. But I was so excited and proud of her this year that she killed beam all season long, and then she made it to she made it to the regionals at Pitt and just hit, and just, I cannot wait to see what the next couple of years, next 2 years holds for her, because she is just gorgeous to watch on beam and on floor and just everywhere. She's just grown into such a beautiful athlete, and I'm so glad she lets me video her and take pictures of her now. She's amazing.
And then our last event is a mixture on floor of just grit and just ability to hit routines on call and get the same score week in and week out, as well as just the beauty and the performance quality of gymnastics. Kim, why don't you break down our floor list?
Yeah,
here.
And Kim, make a list. If someone was holding a gun to your head, what you would pick, or you're going to die. Don't put that.
She did have a longer list than this.
I
made her cut it. It's my fault. I made her cut the list. So there are others, but this is our list.
Just know, Jason made me cut this list. This list was 10, 15, so many. So if you're not on this list, just know the list was much, much longer. Anyways, number one, Savannah Miller, of course, because Savannah Miller is like the leadoff goddess of the floor exercise. It's like, hey, Savannah, go get a 9.9. And she did. She did, like every week. Hey, Savannah, we need a 9.9. Go to the floor. And she did. So Savannah debuted on floor like the first week of the NCAA season. And that is not the event. Like, okay, Savannah, you're good. You're great on floor. I'm not taking that away. I thought she'd be on bars, but she was on floor. But it was like, hey, Savannah, we need a 9.9. Okay, 9.9, here you go. That's what happened. Literally how it went.
Yeah, that just keeps us from our hope of a full in next year, because she has a nice full in on floor, but she can do a double pike and nail it and get a 9.9 every single time. Are we going to get to see an upgraded floor routine? I don't know. But yeah, definitely. 9.9s all season is awesome.
Yeah, just like she could probably do that routine with her eyes closed. Don't do it, but she could. Savannah, 9.9 on floor. She's the 9.9 queen of the leadoff position. Number two, Nikki Smith. Duh. So this routine, so we've seen Nikki Smith's routines for like years now, obviously. And Nikki Smith is very good at floor. But like this year, when Nikki like started her floor routine, okay, so mind you, her starting pose on floor is gives you major side eye if you get it from the right angle. And you kind of feel like, why are you staring at me like that, Nikki? And then she gets up and starts. But then you're kind of like, okay, Nikki. But then once she got going on her this routine and she got to after the one pass, then you're like, oh, there you are. And she's like, hey, hey. You know that part when she's doling out the cash? That's what she's doing there. Hey. Nikki like came out of her shell. And she like just right out of it. Oh my God, this is like one of my favorite floor routines. And like before, like in JO, you saw the personality, but she was a little more reserved. Like Naya, her sister, is more like out in the open, but like Nikki was always a little more like reserved a little bit. But like this floor routine, oh my God, it's like an explosion of Nikki Smith, and it's what I have been waiting for so long. Oh my God, this floor routine, like literally, if I am on another event filming somebody, anybody else on any other event, and I hear the music or Nikki starting, I'm sorry, other person on the other event, your routine's getting cut short, because I gotta take my cameras and run over there, because I'm not missing it. I'm not. And I think I have now filmed, videoed MSU from like every angle of the floor. When I was at Pitt, I was kind of concerned of what angle I was going to get. I wanted to be dropped down from the ceiling. I spoke to me and the people on the floor spoke about that, how I was going to, what angle I was going to get, because I already got them all. I'm like, can I just dangle from the ceiling like this? Get from the top?
Was there a taped box up there that you could stand
there
in?
There could have been.
Okay, because, you know, you need to stand in the taped box. So if there's no box in the ceiling, Kim, you can't
I was
go
close enough to the – I actually, you know what? As long as I'm – it's like first base, like when you lead off from the base, as long as you're within the base, like as long as you're close enough. My foot was – as long as I'm close enough.
Got it.
I could have brought some tape up there. Would have been fine. Mm-hmm. Could have made my own box. Can't wait to see what's going to happen next year with this one. The anticipation. Number three, this is a dual holding spot. This is Hannah Demirs and Andy Lee. And these two hold the same spot in my life, because they're like the ones that are like, they should be on the list, because they're like the consistent ones. And I just love watching both these floor routines so much. And they're just amazing. And I have the most amazing pictures of Andy Lee's floor routine from Pittsburgh meet. Let me tell you, I will be sending those out eventually to the Lee fam. But they're great. And I love Andy's floor routine. It's just so good. It moves so fast. Fan flippin' tastic. And then we all know how I feel about Hannah Demirs. Her routine is just amazing. Ugh, it's just so many things. She has so many facial expressions, and she just has so much personality. And she has always had this personality since she was a small child. It's been great. She is just.
Yeah, that's the best part, I believe, of Hannah, is just watching her. Besides her front double full, which is,
yeah, but it's
gorgeous.
Her personality.
Just her personality and her, just the way she, you know, and then afterwards, especially if she has her best routine, how much energy and like excitement that we get. And Hannah, fifth year. Hannah,
you know what?
Please.
She has already wrote on her Facebook pages and her socials that she's goodbye gymnastics, blah, 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 et cetera. Really, Hannah, I thought we talked about this. I mean, Hannah, come on. I know your mom is going to listen to this. So, Lori Demers, please have Hannah phone us. We can help her with this decision because that Facebook post, I was not digging it. But we love her. Good luck for the future. Maybe you should do a fifth year. I am not ready to come to terms with no Hannah Demers next year. I think I need therapy. Number four, Delaney Harkness. I always love Delaney's floor routines. Like, she has good floor routines. She always has. Her J.O. floor routines were always really good. Great music, always great dance. Especially this one. I love this one. I liked her last year's one as well. She has great, great routines. But I did not think floor was going to be her event that was going to go to Nationals. No offense. I just thought it was going to be bars. But this floor routine was amazing. And you performed the crap out of it all season long. Great facial expressions, great tumbling. I love, and I told Alina this, but I love that you kept the part in that you do like your little knee slide on the floor, Delaney. That's like my favorite part from your last one. And you kept it in this one and you're full in, girl, on point. So my kids' meat hair is inspired by Delaney Harkness. So it is. They have their Delaney Harkness meat hair. Number five is Michaela Stuckey. And we all know how I feel about this athlete. And we all know how I feel about this floor team. It's one of my favorites, like, hands down. And so is the story of this floor routine, because Michaela got, like, called in to do this floor routine at the ASU meet, like, 2 weeks before, maybe, and she had to redo the entire, like, most of the entire routine, because it was a three-pass, and then it became a two-pass, and it's just such a different routine than what she's had. It's like more, it's a little more serious. She usually has like that bubbly routine, but oh my God, I absolutely love this floor routine, and she performs the hell out of this floor routine. It's so good. She finished floor with a 9.8 and she just killed it. I'm going to need some daily floor dance breaks, you know, coming up here soon, next season especially, but her floor is just stand out above the rest in terms of performance quality, danceability. She choreographs all her own routines and some teammates and all that. So this is one of those routines that one of those floor routines that I'm definitely 5,000,000% going to miss watching next year, because she is not going to do a fifth year. Definitely Mick will always be on my floor list of best routines for sure, forever.
Well, that, is a awesome way to wrap up our 2023 NCAA season for our Region 5 alums. Our last award, however, goes to our season MVP. And Kim and I definitely have to say there are a lot of athletes, especially our alums, that do a phenomenal job and do a lot for their teams. But this particular season, Minnesota Gopher Gianna Gerdes had a phenomenal year. I don't know if she was under a 39.2 or 3 all season long. She hit every event. Yurchenko 1.5, you know, gorgeous floor performance. She could have been on this floor list, but being the MVP, she kind of encompasses everything this year for her. And we just wanted to give a shout out to Gianna, because we've seen you. We've watched. I know we came into Big Tens and you were about to, you know, mount beam, and we're like, stop to watch. You do beam. But congratulations on just a great junior year. We definitely look to see what your senior year possesses as you try to lead this Gophers team again for next year. But awesome job, Gianna, all season long. And, great efforts on all four events in 2023. So in terms of our podcasts, our College Salute podcasts, this wraps up that coverage for this particular season, 2023. We will have our alumni conversations coming up next, and that's where we get to sit down with our alums and we kind of break down the season, how Region 5 affected them and prepared them, and kind of just mesh all Region 5 in with NCAA gymnastics. So look forward to that. We will have some announcements up on our Instagram. Please follow the R5 College Salute _ podcast. Basically, all summer long, as we will be posting if we see any upgrades or if we have any information, or if we obviously are going to post when we have our alumni conversations. We might even have some polls on who you want to see. But we already have our list, and it's going to be a great season, I think, of our alumni podcasts over the summer. Look out for those. That's how we the times when we get to talk to our alums. So this will wrap up our coverage for the season, but make sure you stay tuned for the alumni conversations coming up in June.
We know you enjoy our podcast and want people to find out how awesome it is, so please rate and review us on Apple and Google Podcasts or wherever you listen to the Region 5 Insider Podcast. Please continue to follow us at r5collegesalute_podcast on Instagram and r5collegesalute on YouTube. If you are not already following us, please start. Thanks again to our sponsors and subscribers. We could not do all of this without your support. Follow us on all of our social media accounts for the most up-to-date information on what's going on in Region 5.
And make sure you follow us, because as we will get into our 9 and 10 coverage coming up in a few short weeks, but over the next few weeks, we have lots of stuff up for regionals from our Region 5 championships. So make sure you stay for that. And thanks again for joining us on our college salute to the NCAA National Championships. And thank you all for downloading and listening to us all season long. Make sure you check out the final Alumni Monday of the season with the awesome performances from our USAG Collegiate National alums. We'll be taking about a month off, the month of May, as we finish the Level 9 and 10 season content with nationals and all that goes along with that. But we will return for our Region 5 alumni conversations and more spine-breaking coverage of our Region 5 alums in June. Follow, like, and subscribe. Peace out, Region 5.
5, 5, 5, 5, 5.